Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All August long, we're doing a Kind of Funny Patreon pledge drive and asking you to chip in on patreon.com/kindoffunny if you enjoy the shows. For real, we're an 11-person independent operation, and we couldn't do it without your financial support on patreon.com/kindoffunny. So thank you. Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, August 17th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Eddie O'Leary Jr. Joining me is GameSpot's Timur Hussein.
I've been referring to myself lately as the four-time COVID champion.
Four-time COVID champion.
I made it out for the fourth time recently.
It can't keep you down.
It has ravaged my body, so I will be breaking into coughing fits every now and then.
You've not gotten through unscathed, but you're still here.
Yeah, I'm still here. It can't kill me, but it can severely. It's like, you know, the end of Soul Calibur matches where it's like, Mitsurugi was grievously wounded, but the soul lives on. That's me.
So how are you feeling now?
I feel fine. I feel okay. I think, like I was telling you guys outside, I've had it four times. Mm-hmm. Each time it's like changed my body in a way that it has never recovered from. So like I have permanent fatigue now. And like now I've got this cough. I'm worried that this cough will never go away. Mm-hmm. My like lung capacity has gone down. So I feel okay. I am a different version of myself than I was pre this version of this run of COVID. But I also like, well, I have
this. You're punished, Tam, now.
I'm punished, Tam, yeah. I'm wearing the Metal Gear 5 jacket as well.
Oh, funny enough, I didn't know whether I was going to go Metal Gear or like a FromSoft reference. Because as you describe it, I'm like, yeah, this sounds like a FromSoft like boss character that's gone through multiple stages.
I'm the crestfallen warrior, you know, that dude who's right in the main hub. As soon as you find, he's like, man, I got clapped out there.
God.
I'm not going out there again.
And you're also wearing a FromSoft t-shirt. And so
I am, yeah. Shout out to my boys at Retry.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I feel fine. I'm not contagious. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. Mm. I just occasionally will cough a bit too much.
That's okay. We're here for you. Hope you feel better.
I'll do my best.
Soon. I know long COVID is unpredictable in terms of how it affects the body.
Take it seriously. It's no joke.
Take it seriously. You know what I take seriously, Tam?
Oh, yeah.
Video game news. Because today's stories include Alan Wake 2 being delayed, the Xbox 360 store closing, and more. Because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every day at 10 a.m. live right here on YouTube.com/KindofFunnyGames and Twitch.tv/KindofFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to KindofFunny.com/YoreWrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on YouTube.com/KindofFunnyGames. Or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, ladies and gentlemen. We have Starfield. We are reviewing Starfield, and we'll have a Starfield review for you on August 31st on the Kind of Funny Games cast with lead reviewer Paris Lilly. That'll be going down on YouTube.com/KindofFunnyGames. Tam, what's your plan with Starfield? I assume, since we have Starfield, I assume you have Starfield as well.
Yeah, we have Starfield. The plan is to get as many people possible playing it. If what they're pitching it to be is true, and it's like a gargantuan game, that's the only real way we've got to approach it, like just have as many people covering it from as many different angles as possible. It's wild because we're in a phase of gaming right now where everything is way too big.
Yeah,
like we're trying to review Baldur's Gate 3 right now and do our due diligence and give it enough time and make sure that we're covering it thoroughly. But at the same time, we've got Starfield now, and it's like, this game is infinite. Good luck. Like, damn, dude.
Is that tough thing where everything feels like it's hitting at once?
Yeah.
Like, I'm working on Blessing Super Fun Game Release Calendar, which is a calendar I put on Twitter. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's, like, very badly formatted, but, like, that's all part of the bit. And as I, like, try to compile what August is, right, like, you mentioned Baldur's Gate 3, which is one of the most jam-packed games of the year. Off of that, we're talking about Armored Core 6 also coming out in like a week or two, right? In like the next 10 days, we're going to see Armored Core 6. Yeah. And that's going to come out and be probably one of the toughest games of the year. And then off of that, we're jumping back into Starfield, which is another jam-packed game. But between all that, there's still other games that are happening. There are still games like Sea of Stars. There's still, while I was putting together my calendar, I saw that tomorrow, Bomb Rush Cyberpunk comes out. And I forgot about that. And I've been looking forward to that game for years.
Yeah, it's a wild time for game releases. And as we will learn in our first story coming up, games are actively moving away from each other now to be like, this is wild. We need to give ourselves some breathing room, give ourselves some space. And it's starting to like seep into. I hope that the kind of industry, like the publisher side, start to get a little more savvy to this stuff to be like, let's not pile everything on at the same time because we're only doing ourselves a disservice where, you know, people are going to start splitting their attention and that kind of stuff. But I doubt it. And I don't think that factors in a major way, but it is weird to be looking at so many games right now and being like, damn, this is so much work to do. But at the same time, it's super exciting. I remember when I was on the other side and it was like, oh, I'm going to buy these four games and play them all at the same time. Can't do that these days, but like for people out there, it's certainly an exciting prospect.
Yeah, sure. And like, I mean, even with all those games I mentioned, I even forgot to even bring up games like Immortals of Avium.
Yeah, yeah,
which is another like EA, what do they call it? EA Originals release, right? And that game was going to come out in July, but then got pushed. And like, that's kind of to the opposite of what you're talking about, where, yeah, like I feel like there's got to be a learning of, hey, let's get out the way or let's find ways to make room for our games to grow. And that was that unfortunate thing of, I'm sure they did the balancing of, all right, do we release in a jam-packed August or do we release possibly in a buggy state, right? Yeah. And you got to like balance those two things and it ends up in an unfortunate way, but like versus something like Alan Wake 2 where, hey, like let's get out the way. Let's get a week and a half out so that people can play Spider-Man or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many games still coming as well. Like there's a Mario game coming out this year.
There's a Mario game. There's multiple Mario games coming out.
Wild.
There's a Mario 2D Mario game and a Mario RPG coming out this year.
Crazy.
Is Starfield one where like everything shifts compared to other video game review codes that you guys might get? Because like this seems like the, if not one of the biggest game releases of the year.
Yeah, right? I think like
between this and Zelda.
Being transparent, like it's a balancing, or it's a formula you kind of like, or a calculation you make where it's kind of like, how big is this game? What is the requirement from a coverage perspective? Like, what are people going to want to know about this game when they start playing it? And then, like, what are the resources available to us? And, like, it might surprise people to know that GameSpot is quite small. Like, we're not a major team with hundreds of people or, like, dozens of reviewers. We've got a handful of reviewers. And in the scenario where it's, like, we've got one person reviewing it and we've got maybe, like, seven other people on the editorial team, you kind of have to start putting them on a game like this to be like, play this and start working on coverage on it. But that does mean that other things that are coming out at a time kind of have to take a bit of a back seat. So it's a real tricky prospect to find the right balance to it. But they're also, I try and do my best to make sure that I'm never like completely writing off a game that I know people are going to be interested in. Like, you know, I'm not going to be out here being like, no one play Armored Core just because the traffic potential of Starfield is so high. I mean, it probably eclipses Armored Core, but the fact of the matter is Armored Core is a big game that a lot of people are going to be interested in. I'm interested in, so I'm not going to push that aside. But it is a weird thing where you have to consider resources. What's the traffic potential? What's the kind of like utility of it? But for the most part, I think what I do is like I try and make the game available to as many people as possible. And say, you guys are the core team working on this. And then everyone else, you have other assignments, but play the game as well. And the moment you can, jump in, add to the content. If you have something interesting you want to make, then you can do it. And even if it's like between things, like, you know, I'm doing this feature right now, but I just had an idea for the Starfield thing. Should I do it? I would be like, okay, cool. Yeah, let's just reshuffle some stuff around. I'm also very like careful about making sure I don't overwork people and I don't set crazy deadlines and that kind of stuff. So sounds weird, but like I'm one of those people who is like, I will never force people to meet a deadline, an embargo lift if there isn't enough time. Yeah. Like I always tell my reviewers, this is when I would like it. But if you're having any sort of trouble, I would rather you just tell me I need more time than try and crunch through it. I don't allow my reviewers to crunch. So mm-hmm. I think it's a case of like everyone is on it, but at the same time, it's not going to take over everyone's life.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
I mean, the way you're talking about it for a GameSpot is the way that I think Kind of Funny is handling it as well, yeah. where we have Paris Lilly, who's being our lead reviewer, yeah. right? But like, I've been very excited and pleased with how Kind of Funny has been talking about how we're going to cover Starfield yeah. internally of like, hey, like, of course, August 31st is when you can expect the Kind of Funny Gamescast review. But we have plans beyond that, you know, are very specific for a game like Starfield and how we want to cover it, right? It's like based on the learnings of, hey, we have this many people, we have this many codes that we're able to like get into people's hands, right? It's not a Zelda situation where only I had Zelda yeah. and only I was able to review and make content for Zelda, right? Like multiple people at Kind of Funny are able to say that they have Starfield yeah. and are able to play and get their hands on it. And so what does that look like? And what have you learned
yeah.
off of other big games and what the audience gravitates toward for the kind of content that we make? And so like, there's a very interesting way that Kind of Funny is tackling this that I very much appreciate. And again, yeah. it's one that for the audience that's watching, I think y'all should be very excited for our coverage of Starfield, yeah. let alone the industries, right? Because I think everybody's yeah. going to tackle it in their own way. But because this game is so big, both in like literal, oh, this is going to be a big game, right? I'm saying this is somebody who's not started it yet. But because this is going to be a big game on that side, and then also yeah. the fact that this game is one of the biggest games of the year, there is a all hands on deck aspect to it that yeah. excites me. Like, I've been very excited to get this code. Also, just for the fact that I also really like Bethesda Game yeah, Studios same. RPGs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I know we're in a different place than we were when Fallout 3 came out, but I still have that Fallout 3 fan in me that is like, dude, I just want to get into that janky, I talk to somebody and the camera zooms in on their face a certain way, and like, you have that staticky kind of conversation. Like, I've got
400 that. Cheese wheels in my pocket.
Yeah, let's like, oh, I'm just going to collect all these random things and see what ways I can break the game, right? Or in the case of Starfield, I want to see what this version of a Bethesda game looks like.
Yeah, it's exciting to see, like, obviously they're a team that prides themselves on putting out AAA premium experiences, and that is what they do relative to the time usually. But this is like a game where they also are very much aware of their reputation now. I was pointing out these massive games that sometimes buckle under the pressure of their own ambition in funny ways and ways that they're probably like, damn, I wish that wasn't happening. So I'm interested to see like what level of kind of togetherness this game has and polish yeah. and that kind of stuff. Like, is this going to be... And like, to be clear, like, I love that shit. I love it when it's yeah. like I love it when it's like being dumb and fun, and like this part of the charm of it. And it's also why these kind of games, Bethesda games specifically, have such a long tail. They don't just come and go in the way that most games do. These are the kind of things that help them become part of the culture. And that's going to be exciting to see. Like, is it going to be a game that, I mean, like, there's a certain long tail to it regardless. Like, it's going to take us all a while to get through it and then produce all the content that we want to produce and feel like we're doing a service to by producing. But also, like, is it going to have the long tail where it's like a year from now, someone's going to be like, look at this absolutely wild bug that yeah. I've just found. And like, oh, everyone yeah. like has fun with it and that kind of stuff.
I like the idea of like, hey, if you... a year from now, hey, I just took this companion to this planet and yeah. they had this piece of dialogue that
yeah,
nobody
or like,
knew.
Yeah, I turned this planet into Macho Man Randy Savage planet
yeah.
through mods. And it's like, oh, sweet. Now I'm going to do a Macho Man run. Like, you know, that kind of stuff.
Can I tell you, this morning I woke up, right? Like, I took my shower, I got out, and then I looked at my phone. I got a notification. It was a Gmail notification. Mm. And I checked it, and it was, oh, Starfield codes are in. And like, the email,
you had to have another shower.
We had a what now?
You had to have another shower. Is that
yeah?
It?
No, and then I was like, oh, back man, I gotta get back in there. But I just started sweating profusely because yeah. I saw those codes. But like, saw it and like the email was like to like me, Greg, and Mike, and I was like, okay, I'm very excited for this thing, but I should be responsible and wait for Greg to actually distribute the code. I shouldn't like just take a code and tell Greg that like, hey, I took it, because there's an order of operations that I should respect.
Yeah.
So let me wait for Greg to actually distribute the codes. And I waited 10 minutes, 20 minutes.
Meanwhile, Greg's like with his
minutes.
Child being like, you're going to grow up to
and that's
good
my thing
boy.
Is like, I was like, where's Greg Miller right now? It is 8:30. Where is he? And I check my phone on Instagram. He's literally watching a cartoon with Ben. And I've never been so mad at somebody being a good father. I was like, put that baby down. Give me my Starfield code, dang it. But yeah, I think I'm excited about Starfield. I think the world's excited about Starfield. A couple yeah. weeks from now, we'll be able to talk about Starfield, but a couple weeks from now are so far away. Let me tell you more about some housekeeping we got for you. Me and Tim Geddes are recording PS I Love You XOXO later today, and we're doing a fun viewer questions episode. So write in with your questions to kindoffunny.com/PSILY. And then a new Kind of Funny XCast is up right now. It's a conversation about the Xbox Series S. That's, of course, on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And then over on Patreon, a new Remember Blank all about horror games is up today. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool, Delaney Twining, and Logan Delaney. Today we're brought to you by Liquid IV, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 8 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting with our number one, Alan Wake 2 has been delayed. This is Wesley Yenpool at IGN. Remedy has announced a 10-day delay for the hotly anticipated Alan Wake 2. It was due out October 17th, but will now launch October 27th. In a statement, Remedy said October was packed with game launches and wanted to give players more space to play everything. Quote, October is an amazing month for game launches, and we hope this date shift gives more space for everyone to enjoy their favorite games, Remedy said. Alan Wake 2 was set to launch the same week as Insomniac's sure-to-be-massive PlayStation-exclusive Spider-Man 2. Back in 2010, launch sales of the first Alan Wake suffered due to launching in the same week as Rockstar's behemoth Red Dead Redemption. October 2023 also sees the launch of Microsoft's Forza Motorsport, Ubisoft's Assassin's Creed Mirage, and Nintendo's Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Tam, a delay of 10 days, how does that strike you?
I think it's fine. Like, maybe, you know, other people in other situations that were super looking forward to this might be a bit upset. But for me, like, I also respect the transparency here. It's like they just were like, you're going to be playing Spider-Man. Like, you're probably going to be playing Spider-Man. We would rather you... It's what I was saying earlier. Like, they want people to immerse themselves in this game. And I don't know about you, but, like, the idea of trying to balance Spider-Man and Alan Wake and whatever else is out at the time doesn't seem conducive to the most immersive kind of experience that you're having with these games. So for them to come out and just be like, we're moving at 10 days purely because we just want to create some breathing room for everyone, I feel like that level of transparency is kind of appreciated. I'm sure it helps them in other ways as well, where it's like, you know, a little bit of extra time to, you know, polish up something that could be distributed in a patch or something like that. But baseline, them just being like, we just want to get out of the way of this behemoth of a game, like, it makes sense. It's smart. Like,
I think it helps everybody involved. It helps Alan Wake 2 get more attention. It helps you get a bit more attention from not even just the audience, but from media as well.
Yeah.
Where Spider-Man's going to come out, and there's going to be guides on Spider-Man. There's going to be stories and op-eds about Spider-Man. There's going to be all this attention and focus on making Spider-Man 2 content, because Spider-Man 2, again, when we talk about the big games of the year, Spider-Man 2 is one of them. Spider-Man 2 is going to be one of, not like, top three highest selling games.
It's got 2 Spider-Men in it.
It has it has double the Spider-Man in that game.
Yeah.
And like, Spider-Man 2018 was the fastest selling PlayStation game, right? And like, we're talking about a follow-up to that. Sequels usually do better than the original. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a known quantity now. We're talking about people going into it after having this hype and growth of people that are into the first Spider-Man game. Like, those initial sales for Spider-Man 2018 were fantastic, but over time, I've not seen content stop about Spider-Man, even that first Spider-Man game. I go on TikTok and I see people doing this thing where they go live and they swing around New York to music.
Yeah.
And like, they're making these music videos with Spider-Man 2018.
I love those.
And Spider-Man Miles Morales. I love them too, actually.
It's so good. The ones where it's like, jumping off and you can see him like hit a button and like swing and like
they're like turning on a song on Spotify.
Sunflower plays or something like that. It's like so good.
Yeah.
I think it's also worth keeping in mind that Spider-Man 2 is a game that will now include a character from one of the most beloved superhero films of all time of the last few years, Venom. You know, everyone loves Venom.
True.
That movie series has been gargantuan. Which now, you know, people are going to see that and be like, that is from my favorite movie ever, Venom. I'm going to buy that game.
That's exactly what they're going to say.
That's exactly how it goes.
Jokes aside, people do love Venom. Not the movie, but the idea of that character. Like,
I mean, I love Venom as a character.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you have a Spider-Man 2 game that has Peter Parker, Miles Morales, which, like, I mean, to your point, one of the most hotly, like, loved superhero films in the last wherever, right?
Yeah, we're talking
about
Spider-Verse,
Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse, right? We're coming off of that, and then you're talking about, Venom, who's a character that, if you know Spider-Man...
Everyone knows as Hobo Man from wherever, like...
you've got the main character from that 70s show in the game. And, like, you know, like, that is such a selling point, and that is that's a game that I think you want to get out of the vicinity of, just in terms of what that is going to be in conversation. You want people to be able to pay attention to Alan Wake 2. You want people to have the bandwidth to be able to pay attention and make content about Alan Wake 2. And getting going from what, 3 days before Spider-Man 2 or a couple days before Spider-Man 2 into a full week after it, that's going to give you enough space that you need, especially because when you look at October, you know, the article I read listed some games. So we're talking about in October that has Assassin's Creed, Detective Pikachu, Lords of the Fallen, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2, Turbocharged.
Wait, that's coming out in October?
Yeah, that's Fuck. that's the day before Spider-Man 2, Barry.
Fuck!
Yeah, dude, get ready.
Move over, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 2, Super Mario Brothers Wonder. You got the Metal Gear Solid collection coming out the 24th.
Now we're talking, baby.
Let's go. And then you got Headbangers, that like rhythm warrior-looking game. That's a heavy October. And then, yeah, November that like has stuff going on in it as well, including a Call of Duty and stuff. And so you're...
What?
You're, it's this new franchise. It's a first-person shooter type
Nobody
game.
Care about
I
that.
Think it's military. I'm not sure. But I think there, Alan Wake 2 has found a good middle spot where, yeah, as Alan Wake 2, go head-to-head with the Headbangers. Like, you're going to be fine. Like, go head-to-head with a Metal Gear Solid collection. I think that's fine.
Whoa. Careful now.
I mean, but, like, when you go up against Spider-Man 2 and Super Mario Wonder in that same couple-day period,
yeah,
fuck out of there.
Yeah. I mean, like, and again, from my perspective as someone who wants to play this game, I just want to focus on Alan Wake and nothing else. Like, I'm so excited for that game. And, like, it's a survival horror. And survival horror games are good in long stretches, right? Like, where you can sit down and focus on it and immerse yourself in the atmosphere and the ambience of it and, like, allow it to kind of get its hooks in you. And I don't think I'd be able to do that if I knew I also need to play Spider-Man. I also need to play Mirage or et cetera, et cetera. So if they're giving us this period where it's, like, play this game in this time, and then once you're done, you can move over to whatever the Venom game is or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm down for that.
That's good.
And ultimately, like, I do respect the, like I said, the transparency there.
Story number two. The Xbox 360 store will close in July 2024.
No!
Directly from Xbox Wire. As we head toward 2024, we have a change to share about the Xbox 360 experience. On July 29th, 2024, Xbox will stop supporting the ability to purchase new games, DLC, and other entertainment content from the Xbox 360 store on the console and the Xbox 360 marketplace. Related to this change, the Microsoft Movies and TV app will no longer function on Xbox 360, which means TV and movie content will no longer be viewable on your Xbox 360 after July 29th, 2024. Between now and July 2024, you can continue purchasing games and DLC from the Xbox 360 store and at the Xbox 360 marketplace. This change will not affect your ability to play Xbox 360 games or DLC you have already purchased. Xbox 360 game content previously purchased will still be able to play, not only on the 360 console, but also on the Xbox One and Xbox Series X devices via backwards compatibility. There is no impact to purchasing or playing backward-compatible Xbox 360 titles. After July 29, 2024, you will still be able to purchase hundreds of great backwards-compatible Xbox 360 and original Xbox games and DLC on Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Xbox.com. Tam, how does this strike you?
I mean, I think the final kind of paragraph there is the important part of it.
Yeah,
they should have put that up front, like put that higher,
yeah.
Like in the announcement. But yeah, I think what we're losing here is more of like a, you know, a piece of the structure that is probably a bit outdated and they don't really need anymore. Because like they say, if it has no impact on purchasing or playing backwards compatible Xbox 360 titles, that's fine. Like the major damage is being done to TV and movie stuff, which is like, I don't know why I don't think I've ever bought anything on a movie.
I know there are probably plenty of people out there that are still using the 360 for TV and entertainment, but that slice of the pie probably is so small.
Yeah, that's wild.
If I walk into somebody's house,
if that's one of you, let me know. I'll buy you something more.
Yeah, it's like, well, with the prevalence of smart TVs and Roku and Amazon Fire Sticks and like so many other ways to watch these things,
yeah,
phasing out the 360, I'm sure to a handful of people it's gonna be a bummer. But when you think about it, I'm sure they can find other ways to watch Netflix.
Someone out there is like, I only watch Sopranos on Xbox 360 and play Geometry Wars, and I need this device, please.
I need this, please.
Please don't take this away from me.
Killing me out here. I'm still playing Gears on this thing, please.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm sure there are use cases for people who are like really bummed out about this, and we're probably overlooking some aspect of it that is really important to a lot of people.
What I wonder is, on the games preservation side of it, are there games that aren't available on the Xbox One or Series X? And how many, like, because Xbox more so than PlayStation and Nintendo have done a good job of keeping that ecosystem intact, of keeping the software that you own. And like, if Xbox, I know there are so many games I've been lost from that. I'm still waiting for Jet Set Radio Future to become available. It never will be, but I'm waiting for it, Tam. On the 360, I would have assumed that that entire library made it over.
I mean, like,
a few exceptions.
Yeah, I mean, like, the, when you start having that discussion, it is like, what is the value you place on a game that makes you feel like it's worth preserving? Because, like, some people will be like, oh, we just want the big ones, you know? Like, we want to make sure that Gears works, Metal Gear works, et cetera, you know, cameo, elements of power, whatever. Mm. But then other people will be like, no, for preservation, we want everything on Live Arcade to still be available somehow. And everything on Live Arcade is wild. Like, there's a lot of games on there. Mm. But from that perspective, we're almost certainly losing a crazy amount of games because of all of the smaller indie games that came out. You know, there's games, remember when they were releasing games that were like $2?
Yeah.
You know, you played for a little bit and there were indie Live Arcade games. Like, those are probably gone. They're probably gone for ages, but they're also inaccessible now in a more obvious way. So yeah, from a preservation sense, we are definitely losing something. I don't think we'll know the impact of it for a little while longer. Mm. When someone goes, oh, I just realized this game is gone.
Yeah, and I mean, Namish in the chat says Sonic 06 isn't backwards compatible. It's fucked up.
That's fucked up.
It's so fucked up.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Game preservation.
I feel like if they made it, I'm sure if they made it backwards compatible, it would somehow breach the Geneva Conventions or something.
Phil Spencer's like, there's only one way to kill it. Like, there's only one way to like kill Sonic and still make sure that nobody can get access to this game. Story number 3, NetEase launches a new US studio led by Bethesda and BioWare veterans. This is Marie D'Alessandri at gamesindustry.biz. NetEase Games has announced the creation of a new development studio in Austin, Texas, called T-Zero Entertainment. The studio will be led by industry veteran Rich Vogel of Ultima Online and Star Wars The Old Republic fame. Vogel had most recently been working
Captain Infinity.
That sounds like a character in like what's Ubisoft's Smash clone?
Brawlhalla.
Brawlhalla. That's Brawlhalla. Yeah. Captain Infinity.
It's like you combine Captain Commando and Captain Marvel into something somehow.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, he most recently been working at Certain Affinity as VP of Production and Online Services. Joining him as game director is Mark Tucker, former design director at Bethesda and game designer for the past 22 years. Jeff Dobson also joined as art director. He also had a brief stint at Bethesda, but is mostly known for his 13 years at BioWare and various leading art and animation roles. Finally, Scott Malone will be T-Zero Entertainment's VP of Operations and Production after 7 years at Bethesda, most recently as production director, and over 4 years at ZeniMax. The team's debut title will be a third-person online multiplayer action game based on a new sci-fi IP. Vogel commented, quote, "Our studio's mission is to create epic, immersive worlds where players from around the globe can play together, forming vibrant and passionate communities." What's making you giggle there?
I mean, like, the thing I'm giggling at is, like, there's been, like, 500 studios with this exact pitch.
Okay, I'm glad you called it out because like, I was going to say the exact same thing.
Not only that part,
but, like, how many people are going to leave BioWare to make their own studio? Because every single time there's a new studio pops up, it's always they're leaving BioWare for some reason.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we checked if like the mailman that went to BioWare now has a studio. He's like, it works, man.
Yeah, I'm making a third-person shooter. Like, follow me. Like, and it's never like the game you'd expect.
No.
It's always a random, like, yeah, we're making a... I came from BioWare. I'm making a League of Legends game, though. And it's like, what the fuck did y'all learn over there? Like, what's going on? But the quote here continues, The team at NetEase Games shares our vision to create memorable and meaningful experiences, and they have made it a priority to provide the support and creative freedom to allow us to make our dream a reality, end quote. Simon Zhu, president of global investments and partnerships at NetEase Games, added, quote, T-Zero Entertainment has been built with an inspiring roster of talented veterans with unparalleled industry knowledge and the passion to create wholly original gaming experiences. That's another one where you see, that's a quote you see about every single
Just waiting for a build for the ground up and we're in.
NetEase Games strongly believes in empowering creators with the ability to build games that will inspire players and evolve over time with its community. We can't wait to share more of what Rich and the team are working on and we'll make every effort to help them grow, end quote. Does any of this stick out to you? Interesting.
So first things first, with a name like T-Zero Entertainment, they better not delay a game ever because they're going to get clapped in the comments. Like, so
T-minus 45 days.
Secondly, I am glad to see more studios appear. It's always like, it's healthy for the industry for more, you know, developers to come around, whether they're like under the umbrella of a major company like NetEase or the independent studios. Having more developers in the industry working here is good. However, most studios of recent have this exact pitch as we talked about, and almost all of them are the most forgettable thing ever. If you're out there about to launch a studio and you have this press release or something like it, no one's going to remember it. What they will remember is when you put out a trailer for a game that looks interesting or cool. You are good for you, but no one is going to remember you from this point on until you have a trailer that's worth thinking about. People are just going to forget you exist.
Like, even to the description of the game, of we're working on a third-person online multiplayer action game based on a new sci-fi IP. I feel like I've seen a billion of those now revealed to the world.
Yeah.
A lot of people are doing it.
It is like a bunch of...
That's Concord. Like, that's Marathon. Yeah. That's fair game.
It's just a bunch of, like, you know, familiar genre archetype words where you're like, okay, it's basically like new studio announcement bingo, where they're going to say all these things and chances are you've heard it all before. But like I said, it's like the proof is in the pudding. And right now we're like inundated with so many of these studios that it's like people are just going, yep, okay, cool. Don't care about you until you've got a game for us to look at. And that sounds harsh, but it's the way it is. Like, what have you got for me?
Yeah.
Don't tell me you were going to make something for me. Give me the meal.
I think the tough thing here is, who is this for, right? I think you put out an announcement like this to hire people to work at the studio and then also just let people know about your existence for see who wants to partner with you, that sort of thing.
It certainly does stuff for the profile and business and the marketing element of it. You know, they can have this kind of backlog of a paper trail almost of their existence, and it does generally signal to people, hey, we're a studio, we're funded by a big company, we're stable, we're making this kind of game, probably want to start applying. You know, they could be hiring now, or they might a few months down the line put out job vacancies and people will be able to make the connection. But those are kind of like very niche term, you know, niche kind of use cases for this stuff. I mean, like, from our context, it means nothing.
It means so little.
Nothing.
I really like how Annapurna does it. If you watch one of the Annapurna showcases, where they're announcing games and doing updates on games and all these things, but like a few times in any of their showcases, they'll have a few studios that aren't ready to announce their game yet, but they want to profile that studio. They want to like shed some light on who these people are. And they always do it in a unique way of, hey, let's meet you at a bar, or let's meet you at where your home studio is. Yeah. And like, give you personality and give you this identity so that when you do announce your game, people remember you.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually. Like, we don't know what the identity of the studio is. It's or nothing that stands out to us.
Like, I think if in a context where nobody else was leaving big studios to then make these smaller AAA studios or smaller AA indie studios, whatever the size of this thing is, I think it would be more interesting. I think coming out and being like, hey, yeah, we're former BioWare, former Bethesda, that should hit, but like, we've heard that story a million times in the last few years. We need a bit more out of that. And like, I mean, I don't want, if it does sound harsh, right? Because like, these guys want to announce their studio.
Yeah, it is definitely, it feels harsh, but like, it's also reality of the situation.
Yeah.
Like, we have to, you know, we take what is given to us and tell you how we feel about it. And the fact of the matter is like, okay, cool. Nice one. See you later. And also the other thing is like, this is going to also sound a bit harsh and rude, but like, at this point, can you name a game developed by a new studio that came from BioWare that is very good or that you like you can't keep using this kind of approach unless like you can also say, like, you know, unless there are bangers coming out for it. Like, there's nothing in my mind that goes, oh, last time a veteran from BioWare came out, they made this game. I go nothing. I'm sure there's something out there, but it's like, not sticking out in my mind.
If the conversation was, oh, this person was the lead director or lead designer of
Rich Vogel is a name, like that's someone that, but like, it's a name for people who we're like, pay attention to who's making games
in 2007.
Exactly. And like, if you read, you know, oh, I know this person's making, but like, for the large vast majority of people, they're gonna be like, all right, man, see you later.
Fair enough. Tam, before we get to story number four, I want to let people out there know about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny and kindoffunnygames, you can go over there, you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Y'all know how much I love to stay hydrated, and Liquid IV makes it easier and better than ever to ensure that I'm always living my best, most hydrated life. And you can too. Liquid IV, the number one powered hydration brand in America, is now available in sugar-free with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, and you can keep your daily routine exciting with 3 new flavors, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime. Let me tell you, the white peach is good. It's real good. We here at Kinda Funny swear by this stuff. 1 stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating. Now sugar-free, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplayer sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code KINDAFUNNY at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you use promo code KINDAFUNNY at liquidiv.com.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And we're back with some news that makes me happy. Story number 4, Mortal Kombat 1 is getting another trailer at opening night live. This is tweeted out by Jeff Keighley, who said, Tuesday, Mortal Kombat 1 comes to Gamescom opening night live. Join Ed Boon live on stage for the world premiere of the new trailer reveal. Streaming live Tuesday at 8 p.m. CET, Central Eastern Time. What's a CET?
Yes.
You know what I mean? More like 11 a.m.
Listen,
ET.
That's, there is that's a world outside of America. I don't know if you know
not
this.
Not that I know,
Pacific
Sam.
Time, baby. 11
really
a.m.
Really
GMT
quick.
For life.
Yeah. I want to shout out Jeff Keighley because this was the tweet yesterday that made us realize that Opening Night Live is on Tuesday and
See,
not Wednesday.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Opening Night Live is on Tuesday?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
upcoming Tuesday?
It'll chat, like, to let you know, like, on our calendar, like, we look at the weeks ahead. We're trying to plan around, like, oh, what are the crazy events? What do we need to do to adjust our normal schedule and all that stuff? And for weeks, we've had Opening Night Live for next Wednesday of, like, this crazy day. That's also the first day that the Ahsoka show is, like, coming out. So it's, like, this crazy jam-packed day. And then this tweet comes through yesterday in our KFGD Slack, and I was looking at the tweet over and over again. I was like, is it, like, Tuesday in the UK, but Wednesday over here? That doesn't make any sense.
And I was
like, oh, shit. And so we had to kind of, like, pivot a lot of things yesterday. So shout out to Jeff Keighley.
These days, I never do anything without looking at my favorite website, World Time Buddy, which is like, if every time I get a message with any sort of time and date in it, I'm in World Time Buddy being like, what the hell does this mean? When is this?
It's 11 a.m. PYT. That's Pacific yesterday time. It's also a pretty young thing.
Pretty young thing, yeah. Exactly.
Are you looking forward to Opening Night Live?
Yeah, I'm always looking forward to new
shows.
I am going to Gamescom.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm jealous.
It's for the first time in quite a few years, I'm going to Gamescom. Me and Lucy are heading down. We've got a few of our lads from the UK joining us.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to see, like, the Retry Boys?
I don't think so.
A highlight when I would go to Gamescom. Shout out to the boys.
Yeah, I was hoping they might pop over. You never know. Last minute, they might. Gav might be like, I'm going to come over.
You get really drunk, then just take a train over, you know?
Exactly.
It's Europe.
That's a big Gav move, where he's like, I'm coming now. I'll see you in 3 hours, which is, like, awesome. But, yeah, there's a decent chunk of people going. Like, I saw on Twitter the other day people being like, I'm going to be at Gamescom, which is, like, exciting. For people who don't have the context, like, Gamescom is huge. It makes E3 look like a small, intimate affair. And that's the wildest thing about it. Like, I am excited to go there and see what it's like. Thankfully, I'm only going on the business days, and we will be like dipping in and out of the show floor. But that kind of the vibe is really, really like fun to be around. And most of the European press, a bunch of American press, all kind of congregate in one space, and it's a good time. I'm excited to go there, and there should be a few exciting things there as well. I'm definitely looking forward to opening night live. I think Jeff has done a really good job recently of trying to set expectations more. Obviously, it's almost impossible to do it, like, because gamers are always going to be like, but do you really mean that? And what is the conspiracy behind this? Like, that kind of stuff.
It's like, this last tweet started, okay, Kojima's going to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Kojima's going to be there.
Which, like, and I feel like chances are Kojima will be there, but it's probably going to be a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Kojima will be like, I'm here, I've got new socks to share.
I'm launching a barbershop.
Yeah, I have watched Barbie, no more. I feel like having set the expectations, we're now in a place that we know a few things that are coming. Like Mortal Kombat being one of them, and all that stuff is exciting, or interesting at the very least. And that just means that Baseline, we should have an enjoyable show, but there's also room for a few surprises. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that we will get surprises, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was one or two things that were like, oh, I didn't expect that. That's cool.
Yeah.
So I'm always excited. I'm one of those people who always believes that like these shows, the Keighley shows, always deliver to some degree. I'm excited for another one.
Yeah, I've been able to like level my expectations over the years for opening night live, because opening night live for me has never had a here's a Final Fantasy 7 remake or here's a fucking like Elden Ring DLC, like where I don't ever expect that sort of thing from opening night live. But going into it with the expectation of we'll get another Mortal Kombat 1 trailer, we'll see Lords of the Fallen again, we'll see maybe a Forza Motorsport thing, the games that have already been, I mean, that's the thing, that's what Jeff was talking about the other day of hey, expect updates on things, right? Like, don't expect everything to be a new announcement here. And going into it with that mindset helps me enjoy it more of, oh yeah, I know I'm gonna get a new Mortal Kombat trailer. I've been loving every single Mortal Kombat trailer for this upcoming game, and so hell yeah, I'm very excited to see what new character they reveal.
Yeah, the flip side of that, or the devil's advocate side of that, is like, we have all kind of taken that approach where we don't expect too much from opening night live. But that's always been with the caveat that other shows exist to kind of serve as a complement to that, namely E3. E3 no longer exists. Does that mean that the tide starts to shift towards something like an opening night live? Especially knowing that the kind of attendance is vastly outweighs E3, and that generally means like the eyes on a show like Gamescom is likely to be way higher. Maybe not now, but do you think over time, like the shift could happen where it's like, oh, opening night live is the new E3, and this is where all the big announcements happen alongside of Game Awards, which is, you know, Keighley's own thing that he wants to put in the work for.
I think Gamescom, opening night live, particular, I'd say, is going to get bigger and better as the years go, because Jeff Keighley over time, it feels like he's been collecting the Infinity Stones and gaining power as E3 is getting
one day he's gonna snap and
he's gonna snap.
All the games are gonna go away.
Over the years he's been taking that power away from E3, and with that, right, like bolstering the presence of Kickoff Live, or whatever he calls it, Summer Game Fest, I should say, and Game Awards, right? I think that naturally will spread to opening night live. I think last year was the year where it felt like he had a good thing going, in terms of at Summer Games Fest, he had that fake out of Dead Island, and it turned out to be Goat Simulator. And Gamescom right after that, oh, here's the actual reveal of Dead Island 2. I thought that was a really cool thing that went under the radar of like, yo, he just like finessed that though. Planned that out. That's a really cool, I assume he planned that out. But like, that's a really cool thing you're able to make happen. That's synergy between your shows. I think as you go and you're able to build more synergy that way, it gets better. The thing I'll still say about Gamescom is that it is a European focused show, right? Like, it has a bit more focus on that territory, so I still expect to see games from devs and studios coming out of that territory be the main highlight of it. And then also I think it just has this interesting place and where it lands in the year, right? August, I feel like it's such a weird place, because I think a lot of studios want to announce their games for the fall a bit earlier than that, right? And then also, if you have something coming up for the next year, you could just wait for Game Awards, right? Or you could have a PlayStation Showcase, or there are so many other options that aren't Gamescom, whereas June Summer Game Fest being the main event for June now instead of E3 puts in this prime place of, hey, we're the new E3. And then Game Awards has their prime place of, we're at the end of the year teeing up the next year, and also we have all these awards for you as well. Gamescom I think is just in this interesting place where it feels almost like the connective tissue between the two. But I think it will get better as we go.
I think that's pretty on point. I'm excited. I also cannot stop thinking about Jeff Keighley as Thanos now, and it is spectacular.
Someone
photoshop
that.
It.
Photoshop that.
I feel like he only has one stone left, right? Like, I feel like Jeff Keighley is on the precipice of like,
All he needs is like Hollow Knight Silk Song just going in.
Oh yeah,
and then he's gonna be like,
once he gets the Hollow Knight Silk Song release date, it's over for you, bitch.
Exactly.
Round number five. Whoa. Story number five.
Kind of Funny's later in the day, Bless. Where are you at right now?
I've been playing a lot of Street Fighter yesterday, let me tell you.
Round five.
Story number five, speaking of Hollow Knight a little bit, Blasphemous 2 has a review roundup for you. There's a review in here that references Hollow Knight in a very interesting way. Right now, on Metacritic, Blasphemous 2 is sitting at an 86, and on OpenCritic at an 84. Travis Northup at IGN gave it an 8 out of 10 and says, Blasphemous 2 is an excellent Metroidvania and a market improvement over the original, even if it did occasionally make me cancel my lunch plans with its grotesqueries. While it lacks in originality with its design, it more than makes up for with its bizarre world, appalling story, and inspired look and sound. The new weapons and focus on platforming definitely helps sustain my enjoyment for the campaign's sizable duration, even when underwhelming enemy variety and unchallenging bosses leave something to be desired. Its stomach-churning religious torture porn might be as far as you can get from the adorable world of Hollow Knight, but you'd be hard-pressed to find something better to play while you continue your interminable wait for Silksong.
Who is describing the world of Hollow Knight as adorable? That shit is not adorable.
That little Hollow Knight guy, you don't think he's cute?
I mean, he's cool and cute, but the rest of that shit is wild. There's like giant awful beetles and stuff like that.
Like they're
but
cute,
they're presented in a cute art style.
I don't know about that, man. Blasphemous.
Also, how do you pronounce blasphemous? People in chat are making fun of me. Blasphemous.
Yeah.
Is it because
I've been saying it normal? I don't know.
Yeah, it's because I'm enunciating the E's. This happens every now and then where I say a word and I look up in chat.
give me another say of it.
Blasphemous.
That's fine. You're good.
Blasphemous.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about
it.
They're getting
in your head, Bless.
They're playing a meta game where they're baiting you.
Brian Shea at Game Informer gave it an 8.75 out of 10 and says, at several points in my lengthy journey through the gothic delight that is Blasphemous 2, I worried the monstrous foe... Blasphemous 2. Okay. I worried the monstrous foe in front of me would spell an end to my journey, but without these frequent frustrations, the triumphs wouldn't be as great. Blasphemous 2 takes inspiration from those that came before it, but by intertwining a gorgeous art style, enticing exploration, and rewarding combat, it rises above the horde of Castlevania-inspired action titles. And then Timothy Montbleu at Destructoid gave it an 8.5 out of 10 and says, anyone who likes Metroidvanias should absolutely make time for Blasphemous 2. Aside from an underwhelming final act, I had nearly consistent fun with this one from start to finish. From the gorgeous visuals to the customizable combat, your journey as the penitent one will be filled with steady highs and occasional lows. Only occasional lows, I should say. It's a great sequel, a great game, and just a great time in general. If you're a fan of Blasphemous, you're in for a real treat with Blasphemous 2. Tam, are you a fan of Blasphemous?
GameSpot.com gave it a 9 out of 10 and said Blasphemous 2 is an excellent sequel that improves upon its predecessor in almost all the ways it fell short.
Oh, what time did that go up?
Don't you worry about it.
Because I looked up the GameSpot review and I could not buy it.
I literally just put it up.
Oh, yeah. I was like, where the fuck?
Did we hit this news story? And you're like, fuck, I knew I forgot to post something.
Because legitimately, I was like, oh, Tam's going to be here. I should pull something from GameSpot. Could not find the Blasphemous review.
No, it was up. It just wasn't promoed. So,
yeah. It's just, gotcha.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. Okay. I'm doing my job well.
Who reviewed it?
Everything's fine. Richard Wakeling.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm excited to try this game out. I played a little bit of the first one, and I bounced off because of a lot of the things, the issues that people had with it, but I am way more into the idea of this one, especially because it puts more of a emphasis on traversal, which in these Metroidvania games, I feel like if you live or die based on traversal, for me, it's one of the reasons I'm looking forward to the new Prince of Persia game that we played a little while back. That game has been in my mind for so long just because the traversal feels really good in it. But yeah, this feels like it's got a good kind of feel to moving around, but also... You know, it's got some of that Souls-like that elements that I'm always into. I'm a little freak about. So I'm definitely going to play it. And it's on PC as well. So, you know what that means. Steam Deck. ROG Ally. Let's go. I've been playing a lot of things on the
Lenovo. What was it called? Lenovo Go? Or no, the Legion Go. That's what they're calling it.
Luigi Go?
The Legion. Lenovo. That's going to be story number 7. We'll get to that later. But yeah, good for Blasphemous. Like yeah. It's not a game that is for me, even though I like elements of it. Like the art style and stuff seems real dope. The like Souls-like nature of it is dope. I'm so bad with like really difficult 2D combat.
Oh, really?
Put me in a 3D combat game.
Considering you play Street Fighter, that's wild.
I know, and it's so weird. Yeah, like I think about that all the time. Is like I feel 2D fighting games I can perform in. 2D like action games that are like this, like a difficult Metroidvania, kick my ass.
Did you play Dread?
I did play Dread.
How'd you find that?
I found it fine. I enjoyed Dread a lot. And it was difficult at points. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was dying during the boss fights for sure.
Yeah, there's some crazy things going on there. Considering that you should be fine with those games, considering you play like all the versions that are like
distillations. Yeah, I play King of Fighters, Street Fighter, Guilty Gear. I play all these.
You
games.
Play platformers, you play fighting games, you play action games, but when they're combined into one
combined,
thing,
yeah,
you're like, I don't know what this is.
I'm also like Metroidvanias in particular. Yeah. It's like that weird, like my brain just doesn't click with them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like there are in the absence of Hollow Knight, there are a bunch of good options when it comes to Metroidvanias, and this definitely feels like it stands out as one of them, which is great news for people who are into this. Fans of this genre should give it a go.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, is that there's just so many games coming out.
Yeah,
is this one of those ones you think is going to get forgotten about when we get to the end of the year for nominations and stuff? Because like it's reviewing really well, you know, like 86 on Metacritic that's really good.
Yeah, this is going to sound again unfair, but I don't think it's on a wild, like a broad radar right now. This feels like a niche, and I feel like the people who are most focused on it being out are the people who played the first game or are fans of the Metroidvania genre and actively paying attention to the fact that there's a new one of these out there. I feel like my hope is with a game like this, when it comes time for discussions around good games, which is like towards the end of the year, people will be talking about Blasphemous 2, and that's when people will go back to it. That does happen in some cases where people forget, I forgot this game came out. I think like it happened quite noticeably with the year that Disco Elysium came out, where people talked about Disco Elysium. It reviewed very well, but it didn't have the kind of like large scale kind of adoption until a little bit later, where people were like, oh, this game is in the running. It's in the running for game of the year. And that's when people are like, oh, maybe I should go check this Disco Elysium game out.
The thing I worry about Blasphemous 2 is the fact that it is a sequel and people, it's more of a known quantity, where I look at something like Inscription, where Inscription came out in like, November, around that time that year, and blew people away and was able to kind of get into the conversation. Yeah. Or a game like Immortality, where it's like, oh, this is different, this is fresh. This is like, I get reminded of a game like Guacamelee 2, which I miss, though I love Guacamelee 1, right? And I feel like that game didn't get the conversation that it deserved, because like, okay, cool, more Guacamelee, but it's like, no, like play it. I'm sure it's a market improvement from what the game was previously, right? But like, I think people skip over it because it's not that surprise anymore. And that's what I get worried about with Blasphemous 2, is that by the end of the year, when we're talking about indie game of the year, we're talking about action game or whatever the category is, do people look at Blasphemous 2 and go, okay, no, that was more Blasphemous. Like, let's pay more attention to the other indie games that came out this
year. I also feel like this is one of those games where I think it's got a long tail. I think it'll stick around for a while. I like, sometimes I'm streaming and on Twitch, and people will be like, have you played Blasphemous yet? And it's like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, many, many months and years after.
I still get that with Hollow Knight.
Yeah, yeah. Hollow Knight, that kind of stuff. So there'll be a fair share of like people evangelizing it. And I think that will help, if not get the attention that it deserves now, at least ensure that it keeps ticking along so that over the long term, it gets what it deserves. I hope that's the case anyway.
Story number 6, a new Walking Dead game has been announced. This is Ryan McCaffrey at IGN. Game Mill Entertainment and AMC have announced a new game in the Walking Dead universe called The Walking Dead Destinies. It's a third-person narrative-driven action-adventure game in which your choices can reshape.
Just made
the
by
story.
A BioWare found. What's
made
going on?
By former developers, by a janitor that worked at BioWare. Let's see. In which your choices can reshape the story of Destiny or of seasons 1 through 4 of the hit TV show. It's in development for all major platforms: PC via Steam, PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo Switch. You begin playing as Rick Grimes and visit key locations from the show, such as the Green Farm, the prison, Woodbury, in Atlanta. Game Mill promises that you'll be able to weave your own path through series events when you come to certain key choice moments that can determine who lives and who dies, with those choices potentially differing from how things played out on the show. Destinies will include over a dozen characters from the AMC TV show, including Shane, Michonne, Carol, Daryl, the aforementioned Rick, and more. Each character has their own unique abilities, and you'll need to manage your resources, including limited amounts of weapons like bats, katanas, revolvers, shotguns, and crossbows, and ammo. Game Mill says the expected price of Destinies is $49.99. What's going on here?
Oh, God.
To give some context, right? Game Mill, correct me if I'm wrong, that's Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. They do a lot of those licensed games.
Okay.
That are like of that AA scale. I believe they're doing the kart race. Was it Nickelodeon kart? Or was it like Garfield kart?
Garfield is the one.
Or DreamWorks kart.
It might be. I hope it's Garfield kart.
I know. I think I'm thinking of DreamWorks. Maybe they probably do Garfield as well.
Yeah. I hope so.
This is such a... Oh, look at Shane.
Oh, wow.
Walking Dead Destinies. This feels like a game that was supposed to come out 10 years ago and got delayed into a portal. And somehow it got spat out now.
Yeah. Loki, I've been falling for 30 years.
Like, wait, let me read the sentence again, because I even butchered it when I read it the first time. It's a third-person narrative-driven action-adventure game in which your choices can reshape the stories of season 1 through 4 of the hit show. 1 through 4.
Right, I now cannot tell
showing
you.
The games. They did Cartoon Network, Battle Network, Zuzu Pets.
They did Hotel Transylvania, the game.
Big Hero 6,
Game of the Year 2019.
Goosebumps,
Cartoon
the game.
Network, Battle Crashers.
Here's the thing, right? I cannot tell you how little I care about The Walking Dead at this point.
Mm.
You
don't care about seasons 1 through 4?
I was one of those people who really loved Walking Dead. Like, I bought the comics. I was into it. And then I learned that it was designed never to end. It was just going to keep going forever. And I was like, I'm out. I am done. And then since then, I swear to God, it's just everyone who even thinks about doing something with the Walking Dead license magically has like the papers appear and they're like, go for it. And you're like, oh my God. I just...
See, I was such a diehard Walking Dead AMC TV show fan. I watched it religiously. Me and my friends back home would like do every Sunday night we'd gather around the TV. We'd do a watch party with every single episode. And like, I'm with you the entire Walking Dead IP feels designed to never end. It feels designed to,
I think,
like,
Robert Kirkman actually said it at one point, and that was my final straw, where he was like, yeah, this is gonna go forever, and I was like, I'm out.
And I remember having moments watching that TV show where I've never been so furious watching a show where, like, Glenn got caught under a dumpster and it was so vague on whether he had lived or died. But, like, it was one of those scenarios where it's like, nobody's living through this. That dumpster was surrounded by walkers. How the fuck did he get out of that dumpster and the whatever? Like, they had to do that to then fake you out and then build to the Negan thing. It was a whole thing. The fact that we are somehow still milking Walking Dead seasons one through four. It's not the entire TV show, right? It's not the whole Walking Dead. Seasons 1 through 4. That's such a random... I couldn't imagine playing a video game starting from the beginning of the Walking Dead TV show and ending around... Would that have been Terminus? You're telling me the finale of this game is Terminus?
I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I stopped...
The second half of season 4 or some shit where they're just walking. That's the whole season.
Are they dead?
Rick bites somebody's ear off. Kindoffunny.com says you're wrong.
Rick bites someone's ear off?
Oh, because it was a group of bikers.
Is this the Rick that turns himself into a pickle or not?
No, this is a different Rick.
Okay,
Cartoon Network Rick. This Rick, it was a bunch of bikers. They had caught Carl. Carl. They got Carl.
Carl.
And let me tell you, they were not going to do nice things to Carl. And Rick was like, no. And then bit the dude's ear off.
Wow, okay.
Is that right? Or was it the season where homegirl was like, look at the flowers, and then shot the child in the back of the head? Damn. Which season are we talking about here? Because either way, not a good way to end this game. These are not good seasons.
But Blessing, this is a what if of The Walking Dead. So maybe your
Carl's
season four.
Carl's the one who bites the guy.
Yeah, maybe the end of your season four.
Oh, bit his throat out. That's what it was. He bit his throat out. Sorry. Yeah.
Maybe the end of your season 4 will be it will be different than the end of the actual season 4.
Here's the thing. I think it's ironic that the IP about a viral infection has itself become a viral infection that we cannot get rid of. Just,
it's a really good way to describe it.
Please, please stop. Like, I just... that IP is devalued to a point where it's like, what are you doing, man? Like,
this is what I want. What would make this game for me, the thing that would make me pick up this game and actually play it, is if Shane doesn't die. Spoilers for Walking Dead, I'm sorry. If Shane doesn't die at the end of season 2.
Which one is Shane?
Oh, you don't remember Shane? Shane's my guy, dude. Shane was that dude.
Oh, yeah. Punisher.
Yeah, the Punisher. Okay.
Yeah.
He was the character that Rick ends up kind of turning into later in the show, right? He already knew what's up. Hey, we gotta have no mercy for these walkers. We gotta shoot people. Like, we gotta kill people that, like, aren't even bad, but, like, they just disagree with our moral. Like, we just gotta take people out.
Yeah.
Shane understood the assignment. Let me tell you something. Like, he was that dude, and he was, God, I miss Shane, dude.
There's been 2 good Walking Dead games so far. The episodic series ones, mm-hmm. and then the VR one is pretty good.
Saints and Sinners.
Those ones are pretty good. Everything else, as far as I know, has been pretty lame. The hit rate is not great for Walking Dead. At some point, someone who's in charge of that IP needs to go, we gotta stop. Because this is a thing that people care about, but we're just driving it into the ground. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think anyone cares about this, sadly.
What was the name of the actor that played Shane? I fucking love him.
John Bernthal.
John Bernthal, that's who it is. Yeah, John Bernthal.
Bernthal. Punisher, and he was in like that in, like, HBO series
the
recently
premise
about
episode 2.
Being naughty cops, bad cops.
He's also in, slight spoilers, The Bear.
He is, yeah.
He's so good in The
he's
Bear.
He's so good. Dude, I just watched, we talked about this already. I watched
You watched the Fishes intense. Episode, I think.
Right? We Own This City.
Yeah, I watched The Seven Fishes.
Yeah, he was on We Own This City, which when I say naughty cops, it sounds kind of whimsical.
Yeah, no.
It's about, like, corrupt policemen.
Like, man, I love him so much, dude.
Yeah.
He's that dude. I want to know who's going to play him in this game. That's the other thing, because they're not going to get the actors. John Bernthal
not
playing Shane.
Absolutely
in the Gabe
not.
Mill
My man's
Dead
got
game.
Standards.
Who, I want to know, I want to hear that voice. I want to hear somebody doing their best Shane impression. Hey, let me tell you something. Like, I want that.
You can do it.
There I'll go, do plus. It. If y'all haven't recorded the voice lines yet, hit me up, Gabe Mill.
If y'all need, who's the actor we always compare you to, Bless, that you
Michael
really
Sarah.
Love? If y'all need a Michael Sarah take on Shane,
I got
hit
you,
up your
man.
Guy, Bless Agadio Jr.
Let me tell you something, man.
Well, the thing most people will remember about John Bernthal is, like, he showed up at that Ubisoft press conference with his dog.
Yeah.
And was like, my dog is here.
Well, he was in Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
Oh, yeah. That's why he did that, right?
Good for him. Story number 7. Leaked images reveal Lenovo's Steam Deck. This is Jay Peters at The Verge. Valve's Steam Deck might be getting more competition. Last month, Windows Central reported that Lenovo is working on a handheld gaming PC that runs Windows called the Legion Go. And on Wednesday, Windows Report published what appears to be the first images of the upcoming device. Based on the images, Lenovo's take on a PC gaming handheld looks a lot like devices such as the Steam Deck, the Asus ROG Ally, but it also has a lot in common with
Did
the
Did you
Nintendo
say
ROG? Switch. Yeah, I call it the ROG. People call it ROG. Okay, is that what they say?
It's properly the ROG, but it should be the
I'm
ROG.
Glad that you said ROG, because whenever I say it, I think of ROG.
I know. We call Roger ROG all the time. Yeah. So when I see it, I have to say ROG. According to Windows Report, the Legion Go has an 8-inch screen with images show 2 Joy-Con-like controllers that can be removed, and it even appears to have a wide Switch OLED-like kickstand that you can pop out for tabletop gaming. The Legion Go's controllers appear to be a blend of the Switch's flat but removable Joy-Cons and the Steam Deck's contoured but attached grips. They look to be 1 touchpad on the right controller. By comparison, the Steam Deck has 2 touchpads on both sides, but the back of the right controller also apparently has a wheel. And since the controllers can't be removed, Windows Report speculates that the screen is a touchscreen. Perhaps the most important takeaway from these apparent images of the device, there are more, and you can see them all in Windows Report, is that Lenovo isn't shying away from making the Legion Go thick with 2 C's. I'm just kidding. There's only 1 C in there.
Huge ass.
Asus steered away from the thickness and heft with the ROG Ally, which wound up with middling battery life. But we're beginning to see portables like the upcoming... Ooh, what is this? The Aya Neo-kun.
I think it's the 2 words. Aya Neo-kun.
Pointed towards beefier batteries. Windows Report says Legion Go will run Windows 11, meaning you should be able to play any Windows game that supports the device's specs. Windows Central previously reported it would use AMD Phoenix processors, which are found in the ROG Ally and other recent and upcoming Windows handhelds. Lenovo didn't immediately have a comment.
I feel like Steam Deck alike devices have become the walking dead of the hardware, yeah. Where everyone's fucking gone.
is there one that's going to come through and break through and become the actual Steam Deck competitor?
I don't think there's going to be anything that... I'm not saying that there's not going to be anything better than Steam Deck. I think what separates the Steam Deck from the others isn't the fact that it's like hardware is amazingly better or anything. It's because it's got a ecosystem that gamers like,
yep,
trust, and it's from a company that they know and has a track record of, for the most part, doing good hardware. They've done some wacky hardware that people are like, what is this all about? But that's what separates it, because there are good devices out there. Like Acer sent me a ROG, disclosure, and I've been playing with that, and it's really good. I like it a lot. I play Baldur's Gate 3 on it, and it runs really well.
Mm.
The only downside is it's Windows. Like every time you turn it on, Windows appears, and I'm like, I hate that. I don't like that at all. It's got their like armory crate thing, but that's just like a weird overlay thing. It's wild. The difference is with the Steam Deck, it's like it feels like a more gaming device, you know? And I think that's one of the key distinctions that a lot of these hardware manufacturer PC companies are missing. It's like your thing just feels like a PC, which some people are really into, but most people who want to play a game on it just want to sit down and have this like very nice looking, easy to navigate kind of UI system.
As soon as you turn on the Steam Deck, your video games are sitting
it feels
right
good
there.
Like it's it feels good, yeah. The noises are nice when you move around, you know, and like it lays out everything new to your library. Steam Deck kind of like, you know, verify that kind of stuff. It's great, it works really well. And like the Lenovo probably plays games better because it's a little more powerful, but it's annoying to use at times because it is Windows. It's just running Windows. You can go into Linux if you want on Steam Deck, but chances are you're probably not doing that unless you're putting like emulators on.
Speak for
or
yourself.
Like I did, who like installed BattleNet to get Diablo running.
I'm pretty sure
running.
Half my Steam Deck time might be in that Linux. Just installing
Dreamcast emulators,
installing games that I'm never even going to touch.
Yeah, exactly.
Allegedly installing Burnout 3 on that thing and Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah. So I think like until someone figures out that element of it, there's not going to be something that pushes the Steam Deck in terms of mind share, because that's what ultimately the Steam Deck has above everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's like cultural awareness and mind share. People are trying to be the Steam Deck, not because it's the best hardware, but because people know it as a touch point for PC grade gaming on a handheld device.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's the big kind of missing piece for a lot of these companies. I'm sure this Lenovo thing is going to be powerful and it will play games really well, but is it going to muscle out the Steam Deck? No, it might be a complementary thing to it. But like, if you've got a Steam Deck, are you really picking up another one? Like, I might have bought a ROG Ally if they didn't send it to me. Mm-hmm. But like, I've got two of those now. There's not a lot of chance I'm going to get a third one and be like, I'm putting this in my rotation. I like the I use the ROG Ally and the Steam Deck not at the same time, but like I use them a decent amount each, just because of the ecosystem of Steam is really important to me. And it works really well with that. But then the ROG Ally, I know that if I want to have a higher end experience, like I want Baldur's Gate still to look really nice and like be generally quite smooth, I'll play it on that embed. So, but I like everyone's going to have one, but I don't think there's going to be a major breakthrough until someone figures out something interesting in the way that people consume it and think of them, that device as a gaming device.
Mm. Our final story here, story number 8. I just wanted to highlight a cool looking game. The story is called "This Game Looks Cool!" This game is called Thunder Ray. It popped up on Twitter for me this morning. It launches this September on Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, and PC. Let me read the Steam description for you real quick. The most powerful boxer on Earth was kidnapped by the Galactic Boxing Federation to play in the wildest tournament in the universe. Tired of having no match on Earth, Thunder accepts this challenge to become the true GOAT. Step into the ring and experience the adrenaline-pumping action of our retro arcade boxing game, reminiscent of the classic Super Punch-Out of the SNES era,
but
with a modern twist. Get ready to throw jabs, hooks, and uppercuts as you face off against a roster of colorful and eccentric opponents. The game features meticulously crafted HD animations, bringing each character to life with stunning detail and fluid movements. Game looks sick as hell, dude.
This looks awesome.
Bear, can you play the trailer again for us? Because, yeah, it popped up, and immediately I was like, oh, this looks like Punch-Out. And I was like, oh, this looks like...
Anime Punch-Out
with a really cool hook to it, like over the top type stuff, because they're in space here. Really cool 2D art style, where like obviously like handcrafted, but like, you know, there it reminds me almost like of like a Cartoon Network cartoon. It's
Space Jam meets Punch-Out.
Yeah, that's a really like good a way to put it. But like a lot of vibrant colors,
but also like One Punch Man and Bob Psycho as well.
Yeah. Megalobox, like Buzzer Beater.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah. It looks really... There's some shots in here that look really, really super. Like, this is a straight-up anime shot. And, yeah.
Yeah, just want to shout this out real quick.
I'm surprised that more Punch-Out clones don't exist. Like, that's always been something that really, like, baffled me. I was like, why is... Like, Punch-Out did Punch-Out, and then very few people did that kind of... The only one that I can think of is that Epic game that was on mobiles that was known for being very, very, very good-looking. The sword one,
Infinity Blade.
That's one that was basically Punch Out, right? And
it's cool
other than that, like I don't think of anything. I don't think anything else really does it. Arms.
Well, Tam, I can't wait for whatever the next Punch Out clone is. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that to be announced. But the announcement of that game is just so far away. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to know what's coming out to mom and grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Before I get to out today, I want to pull the curtain back for a second. Barrett, on the calendar here, I see we're doing a KFG post show.
Yeah.
But I also see that... Oh, wait. I see that Mike's also doing a thing in the other room. So Mike's not available, right?
No.
And Andy's out, right?
Well, it does say that the post show is with one Nick Scarpino.
I did not know that. Nick, you can hold on for like 5 minutes because we're still in the show. Or you can hang out.
No, just come hang out. Just come out. What's up?
Because as I was going through the show, I was like, who's doing the post show? Because I do not have access to the YouTube chat. Must be
me. I'm just going to say this.
I respect
Nick's turning on the microphone.
Nick, what do you feel about Walking Dead?
The Walking Dead?
Yeah, you into Walking Dead?
Is it still going?
They just announced a new game that looks like it was made on a Nintendo 64.
Oh, that's the one thing we didn't mention, too. That game looks like a PS2 game.
Yeah. That sounds pretty cool.
The game is...
Is Carl still alive?
Well, in the game, he is.
He is.
Okay, well, then, yeah, I'm all for it.
It's wonderful.
It's seasons 1-4 of the TV show. That's the game they're making.
Okay. That's actually pretty cool.
You like that?
Seasons 1-4?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was when it was good.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like by season 4, it's like, all right.
That was before they got to Terminus, was like when it started going downhill.
See,
and
that's what I was saying.
You said the words.
I'm pretty sure season 4 was Terminus.
Terminus was like season 4, I think. And then by the time we got to Negan, I was just like, I'm over this show. I don't know. Yeah. And then they were like, dude, let's do Fear the Walking Dead. I was like, are we starting this over again?
Dude, I
felt like that dream where you're like, oh my God, am I in fucking high school again?
Yeah. I could not do Fear the Walking Dead. I didn't watch one episode of it. I'm like, dude, I'm already watching main Walking Dead as a full time job. Because also, I'm watching The Talking Dead afterwards.
Dude, you're watching Talking, and then they're doing the next show, which is like, are they Walking Dead? I don't know. It was
I thought you were going to talk about like the kung fu show they had going on.
There's a lot of things going on. Yeah. Oh yeah, that one was like
guy
was like a nomad walking around the land of kung fu.
God,
I interrupted
awesome.
Your show. I will be back when you. I'll just be sitting over.
Yeah,
there.
I mean we're about to wrap this thing up.
I'd love it if you just stood there the entire for the rest of it.
Man, yeah, I can do that for you. I got to get my laptop up.
No, right here. Yeah, here.
Yeah, just stand around. Just be in the background.
Yeah.
Out today, we got Red Dead Redemption for PS4 and Switch, Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare for PS4 and Switch, Shadow Gambit, The Cursed Crew for PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC, Vampire Survivors for Switch, Gord for PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X, I Expect You to Die 3, Cog in the Machine for MetaQuest 2 and MetaQuest Pro, and Enku Early Access for PC, Book of Hours for PC, and then Affogato for PC.
Isn't that a coffee? Or isn't that a dessert?
It's ice cream and coffee? Like espresso. It's like espresso ice cream.
Oh, nice.
Is that right? Nick, you would know.
My friend has a great joke about that because he was like, when he used to serve food, he didn't know what it was. So he was like, you want an avocado? And she was like, yeah. And he brought her out one. And it was wrong. Yeah, an avocado is, I believe it's an espresso with ice cream in it.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. We had this
really interesting what you rank as a great joke there.
So I didn't do it justice, but the joke is so famous for him. He sells merch with an avocado inside of an espresso cup. Yeah,
that's awesome.
He actually popped pretty hard.
Would he have performed at any of the things I've been to? Because I feel like I've heard this
joke. You would have seen him. His name is Torrio Van Grohl. If you guys want to go check him out, he's a very, very, he's a Bay Area comic, but he's very, very funny. Now he's in LA.
Is he on TikTok? Because apparently I hear that's where all the comedians are now.
Yes. I'm not on TikTok, though. I'm on Instagram because old.
I know. I watch
and I don't like. Okay, perfect. I'm going to post another clip today that I posted yesterday, but Tim rightly saw a spelling error. And then I was like, I have to delete that. Yeah.
Nice.
Or just let it rock. People do not care about the spelling errors anymore.
You know, I do.
If anything, it probably helps.
Because yeah. people...
They have standards.
I just don't want anything taking away from my very mediocre subpar comedy.
I describe your comedy as high than subpar.
Highly. I like to be C-list, D-list in that area.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. New days for you. The Crack Pet Show, Happy Tree Friends Edition, is coming to Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PS5, PS4, Switch, and PC on September 27th. Everhood Eternity Edition is coming to Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and PS4 and PS5 on September 28th. Three new Splatoon 3 amiibos launch on November 17th. Quantum Error launches November 3rd on PS5. Shuyan Saga is coming to Xbox One and Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5, and Switch on September 22nd. And then Green Hell's Storage and Transportation Update arrives on August 28th. Deal of the day for you, Homeworld Deserts of Karak will be free to claim from the Epic Game Store from August 24th through the 31st. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Write in, let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Let's see, people writing about hyenas. We never even talked about hyenas, so you guys are talking about last day's episode. People usually say yesterday, but I said last day. Eurogamer... The Eurospace Gamer says CET equals Central European Time. Banner SN said, Bless said Pickle Rick was from Cartoon Network. Bless, that's very wrong. Is Rick and Morty, isn't that an Adult Swim thing?
I feel like it's on multiple things. Yeah. But yeah, Adult Swim.
Adult Swim, though.
Oh, hold on. I maybe
Netflix.
I feel like I'm right about that. Like, it might not be originally from Cartoon Network, but they... show Rick and Morty on Adult Swim, which is Cartoon Network, which would make Pickle Rick an adult or a Cartoon Network thing.
It feels like it's a Cartoon Network thing.
Yeah.
It feels like that's right.
Yeah, everybody in chat saying I'm right. So Banner SN, I need you to take your laptop.
Ban yourself.
Throw it out your second story window. And if it's still working, grab it again. Go back upstairs. Throw it out again.
And if you don't live on a second story apartment, go next door.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Knock on the door. Be like, hey, I need your second floor real quick. Let's see. Yeah, Robin in chat. Cafe Affogato is an espresso brewed over ice cream.
There's an avocado in a coffee cup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
I'll buy you one of those. I'll buy you one of Torio's.
Dude, nice. I'd be so that's down fine. For an affogato. Sounds really good.
Okay.
Do it.
I mean, we can make that here.
Right now,
we
yeah.
can just do a shot of espresso. I can go get you some vanilla ice cream. That's what you want to do.
Dude, let's do it. That sounds really fun, actually.
Let's go.
If you're watching this live, after the KFG post show, the crew is playing some Vampire Survivors, so stay tuned for that. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Before I close out here, Tim, thank what you up? For joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have anything you want to pimp out?
Yeah, just go to GameSpot.com, YouTube.com/GameSpot, where we have a regular show me and Lucy do called Spot On. We've got a bunch of other new shows that we've been launching nonstop. Like the latest one is called How to Destroy, which is all about coming up with plans to kill fictional characters in the most effective way, which is a lot of fun. Yeah, and then we have the GameSpot After Dark podcast, and there you go. Look, that's us right now. We're going to be at Gamescom. We're also going to be at PAX doing panels, so if you see us around there, say hello, and we'll see you then.
Hell yeah. Remember, each and every weekday live right here on YouTube.com/KindOfFunnyGames and Twitch.tv/KindOfFunnyGames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.
I would have shook your hand anyway. Man.
No, shake Nick's hand.
Shake everyone's hand.
Everyone shake each other's hand now.
We'll shake together. Together we're one. When you are in that place in you.
And now it's post-show time.
Post-show time, ladies and gentlemen. You guys know the drill. We're going to be taking your super chats, your subs, any comments you have. If you want to guys gift a sub, you want to ask us some questions, we will address those questions for the next 13 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go into our vampire.
We went really long on this episode of KFG.
That's fine. I'm okay with that because honestly, Kevin was like, when are you going to get out there for the post show? And I said, Kevin, what are you talking about?
See, okay, so I wasn't wrong. We did not have anything.
No, we had talked about this last week, and in a classic Nick Scarpino fashion, if it's not something I do every single day, all day, I don't think about it.
Yeah.
And so
I wasn't at the meeting last week, and so I did not know. I was in my head, I'm like, they must have talked about it.
Yeah, his name was on the calendar.
It was on the calendar.
Oh, his name was on the calendar? Okay.
It said post-show Nick, and then in parentheses it said blessing, and then it said ??
See, so, it's that thing where I should have clicked into the thing, because, yeah, when you just look at it on the calendar, everything's all smushed.
It just
says
post-show.
I just see KFG post,
yeah.
Thinking that it says what it always says.
And then it said Nick.
And then it says Nick.
But it's okay, because honestly, all I do is, all I'm good for is reading all of your questions here with the Super Chats. Just like Aaron Trahan said, Nick, come to Madhouse Comedy Club. Any night you are in downtown San Diego, you were the last straw that helped me be to get addicted to comedy. I appreciate it. I almost hit you up, actually. I was trying to get down for Comic-Con because Mark Ellis is running a show down there, but I just couldn't make the timing work, unfortunately. Mad Rocks says, since you brought up Michael Cera, thoughts on the Scott Pilgrim trailer from yesterday?
Oh, I've actually not watched the trailer. I saw like some images, some screenshots of it, and it looks really good.
Looks really good, yeah. There's also a video of Michael Cera doing a Tony Soprano impression going around, which is quite good.
Yeah. Michael Cera could do a Tony Soprano impression?
I don't think it's good, but like, it's a fun video.
Is Michael Cera doing an impression of Michael Cera doing a Tony Soprano impression?
Got it. Googie says, Tam, is Jeff a converted Weebo yet?
Yes, he is. He's buying, so we have a podcast called Jeff's Bizarre Adventure, where we take Jeff Bacala, who never watched anime, through a bunch of anime. And he's at the stage now where he's buying JoJo's Bizarre Adventure figures and Cowboy Bebop figures. He's a full anime weeb now.
What series have you gotten him into?
So he's watching JoJo actively. He's watching Cowboy Bebop currently. He's watched One Punch Man as well.
One Punch Man is great.
One Punch Man's great, yeah. So he's seen those. I think we're going to take him through a few more after this. Like, we're going back to the next season of JoJo after we've done Cowboy Bebop. And then I think I want to pitch for Mob Psycho after that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Especially if he likes the vibe of One Punch.
Yeah. I need to watch Mob Psycho. I never watched season two of One Punch Man because everyone kind of warded me off from that, saying it's not good.
Nah.
And season one was so incredibly unique. It was one of those rare things where you're like, wow, this is actually a very interesting and unique actual take on this stuff, which is cool.
Maybe you should check out Chainsaw Man.
Yeah, I think you would dig Chainsaw Man.
I haven't watched Mob Psycho yet, so I'll watch
Mob Psycho's good.
Mob Psycho's sick.
Yeah, Mob Psycho, all three seasons, fucking peak.
Yeah, Mob Psycho, Chainsaw Man, and Jujutsu Kaisen are probably the ones that I would recommend.
The priority, I would say, Nick, for you, just because knowing your taste, is Chainsaw Man, because especially like the anime adaptation of the manga, there's a lot of like film references in it that I think you would like really get a kick out of.
Oh, fun. Should we watch this trailer right now? Should we watch the Scott Pilgrim trailer?
Yeah, Bear, can you bring up the Scott Pilgrim?
I'm scared of watching trailers live.
Are we going to get claimed?
Yeah.
We can try it. We can fuck around and find out.
X going to give it to us.
It's a Netflix thing, right? Who's producing it? Or who's publishing it?
Yeah, it's Netflix, so...
Are they mean about things like that?
Netflix usually is fine.
Yeah, well, let's try it. And then if our YouTube stream gets taken down,
they shut us down. Folks, we're going to react to this. While we're queuing this up, guys, you guys know the drill. If you have Amazon Prime, you get one free Twitch Prime subscription. If you subscribe to us and want to ask a question, you can put a little comment there, and I'll read it for you. And as well, Super Chats, I will read all those donations and all those questions as well for the next 10 minutes.
One of my toxic nerd traits is that Scott Pilgrim is one of my favorite movies of all time. I fucking love Scott Pilgrim so much, and I'm ashamed.
You should be. And it's because Scott Pilgrim is an absolute garbage character and human being.
Oh, I agree with that. I'm not one of the people that's like missed the point on Scott Pilgrim.
Okay. It's one of those things. I totally get it. People are like, Scott Pilgrim's great. I was like, why is it great for you? Because the character is deplorable the entire time. Yeah. Are we in on the joke? Is everyone in on the joke?
I'm in on it. I know.
It's like when people are unironically fans of Walter White, you know?
Or like Homelander.
Like, do you get why he's bad?
I think it's one of those, people love it because it was one of the things that referenced the things they love that made it through to mainstream.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, for
and
sure.
I get
that's
that.
Pretty much
you
it.
Go back, if you go back and watch it with more of a critical eye for just like the characters, like none of them are good.
Yeah. No.
It's hard for me. It's one of the reasons why I didn't like The Runaway Bride. The Julia Roberts classic.
Of course.
Or no, My Best Friend's Wedding. My Best Friend's Wedding, not Runaway Bride. Runaway Bride. It's fine. It's not good. But My Best Friend's Wedding was like, she was just terrible to Cameron Diaz the entire time. And I'm like, why would I like this movie?
Well, like, I feel it's like terrible. That's the same thing as It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, but
like,
that,
everybody
the,
there
you're
is
in
terrible.
On the joke. You're in on the joke on that, where everyone's terrible. And you're like, okay, I'm just going to indulge in this in the dark side of my personality for 30 minutes. And then you get out of that and you go, I gotta go to church. Yeah. I got to talk to someone
like that,
nice.
That makes up a lot of what my favorite shows are. Like, I feel like half the FX shows are about terrible people, right?
Yeah.
I love Dave. And Lil Dicky in that show is terrible. I love...
He's a horrible human.
Rami is another one where the main character sucks.
Tyler says Scott Pilgrim is not a good person, but that's the point. But, like, what is the point of him not being a good person?
Yeah, why is that?
Why is he... Yeah,
because what is the commentary behind that?
Yeah, there's no commentary beyond this guy sucks. But at the end of the day, he's got the girl, maybe?
Kind of, but not really.
Not really, It's like, you're not really... saying anything.
Vince Patel has subscribed for 7 months with Prime and said, 7 months, baby. Nick, can we congratulate Kevin on his new puppy, please? Yes, you absolutely can. Kevin adopted a new puppy last night instead of seeing Blue Beetle with us.
Arguably made the right decision.
We'll see. We're going to review Blue Beetle later today, folks. I'm sure that'll be hitting stores tomorrow.
Ramses.
Of course, he's Ramses. Jose Cortez.
Ramses.
Bless, have you watched the Zack Snyder Justice League in color yet? Is that a thing? Did they put that in color?
Okay, so you're with me. Because like I did not know there was a color version of Zack Snyder.
I thought the point was for it not to be color.
That's what I thought, too. And then like I said it on a show with Greg Miller, and Greg Miller was like, no, the main version of Zack Snyder's Justice League is in color, but like they put out a special version that's black and white.
Okay, so the Snyder Cut's black and white. No, but Zack Snyder's Justice League was in color.
There's originally there's a Snyder Cut that is in color.
Is it still 4:3?
It came out in color first, apparently.
That's what everybody was saying.
That cut is not good.
I don't care. First of all, I didn't watch the Snyder Cut, period.
I watched it, and I'm a DC guy over Marvel, mm-hmm. and I am actively embarrassed by all of their movies. And the Snyder Cut is a thing that I'm just like, you should distance yourself from this, please.
Because what I said specifically on that show was that I didn't watch the Snyder Cut because I wasn't about to watch a 4-hour black and white thing. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, you don't have to watch it in black and white. I'm like, still, I'm not going to watch it, but I appreciate the clarification.
You've already made the decision.
Yeah.
There's no watching
it. It's also 4:3. It's also fucking the Justice League. No, I'm not going to watch a 4-hour version of it. I watched Batman v Superman, and I'm a different person because of it.
Yeah, you're a worse person.
I'm a worse person.
CJ Splitson says, this feels like the first time there's no popular prediction for Game of the Year the next year yet. Feels like everything we've been waiting on has come out now.
Yeah. What about GTA 6?
Is it ever coming out?
Silksong?
Silksong.
I mean, that based on the leak, everyone was saying it was done. So
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, Rebirth is.
I feel like there's like it's, but the thing is that we don't have any solid release dates. We know Rebirth is slated for next year, and so like I think that could be a popular pick once we like get closer to it. But
Elden Ring DLC.
Yeah. Honestly, like if all these things hit, this would be a wild year.
It was a wild year this year. Boone Riddle, Dance Floor Demon, says, it's my birthday, and all I want is a sick rendition of the Geostorm podcast Wheel Spin Rager. I'll give it to you right now live. Geostorm podcast Wheel Spin the girl.
Shout out to the person in chat that says, are we going to watch this trailer?
Yeah, let's watch it.
We've just been in picture in picture for the last like 20 minutes.
Fantastic. Barrett, let's roll our reacts to the Scott Pilgrim trailer. Everyone get ready to clip these out because this is going to be a banger. Who's that, Gary?
That is Gary. This is doing everything for
this
me already.
This looks incredible already.
Yeah, this looks great.
We just talked so much shit about it.
I mean, the animation,
I'm in it like, for the vibes.
Yeah, the animation's good. Just like the editing in the movie was good.
It looks like the game. Oh, it is the game. Where is the show? What is
this?
What
this is the show,
but like, it does look
the
like
game.
The
game had the art style of the comics, which this also
this
has.
Yeah. Also, I got it. Hey, look, it's Chris Evans' character.
I fucking love this, dude.
Yeah, this is very comic accurate.
And they got all the same actors.
Oh, they got the original cast. Okay,
wow.
Cool.
They got Anna Kendrick.
Did that say J.K. Simmons?
He's in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks incredible. I mean,
that looks pretty tight. I'm not going to lie.
Is it just a movie or is it multiple episodes?
It's a series.
How are you getting multiple episodes out of that?
Well, because the comic series ran like, it's like several books.
Yeah, I guess so. You can focus on each of the boyfriends individually.
Yeah, like give them more breath than like a single scene.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
We figure they could, well, maybe not now, but prior to the strike, they could flesh out the universe just a little bit with some of those good old-fashioned Hollywood writers that we're always hearing all about. Like, one, Gary Whitta, who's coming, presumably, to do X. Oh, no, he just finished
Vampire Survivor.
That's right.
Yeah.
Man, we got a lot of fun stuff going
on
today.
Wait, so Vampire... Oh, never mind. I won't even
We're doing another one.
We're doing another one. Okay.
Yeah.
We're doing
we did one at the same time as doing Games Daily that we were streaming to Steam. And now we're going to do another one in just a couple minutes.
But the other one, the first one was like a primer because the next one I'm playing.
Ooh.
The real expert.
I gotta smile more, guys. You know what I mean? I don't want to incentivize the chat
to
be like a toxic boyfriend and tell me to smile more. But I was looking at pictures of myself over the weekend. I went up at Punchline Comedy Club in San Francisco. No big deal.
Oh,
and,
that's a big deal.
All the pictures, I look so dour.
I don't smile at all because I'm physically incapable of it. That's not a joke.
I was gonna say I don't think
you're
I've ever
smiling
seen
right now. I can see you smiling right now.
Yes, I can do certain smiles. But if you've noticed, you will never see me a smile with my teeth showing.
Oh, I don't like the teeth smile.
Because I can't do it. I physically can't. I don't have the muscles. Like I have nerve damage in my face. Mm-hmm.
I just think I got so chubby over the pandemic that my face will not allow me to show a smile anymore. Watch.
Oh God.
As far as I can go.
Oh God, I don't like that. I don't like that at
all. Barrett, can you zoom in on my face and I'll show people my smile?
If you saw this from across the bar, what you doing?
Is that right?
What's our next action?
That's hot.
Does this make you happy?
If I saw this from across the bar, I'm walking to the bartender and I'm ordering a 911.
Somebody call the devil. His friend is here.
give me an angel shot, please.
If this guy stands up at the same time as me, I'm running.
I want to buy 8 angel shots for my friends.
Perfect. Folks, this has been fun. This has been a fun post-show. Make sure you go check out Tam. That show, by the way, the podcast that you do sounds incredible, and I want to be a part of that. Have you guys killed Superman yet?
I don't know if they've done Superman yet. I think they did Pikachu today. This week.
Oh, no.
Pikachu's easy to kill. You just get a hammer and say, don't worry about the screaming.
You just wear some rubber shoes.
True.
Yeah.
Drown him.
You get in the gimp costume.
God.
Drown him. The full thing. The full.
You ever think about
rubber.
Drowning a Pikachu?
Every day.
Yeah. Hell
every
yeah.
Day.
Never.
Same.
Every single day.
Wouldn't that like work in the reverse way? Like, wouldn't Pikachu activate thunder and then like
you would
water
hurt you?
Would
that's
conduct?
A good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Rubber gloves.
Imagine.
Rubber gloves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ash's mom gives him rubber gloves immediately.
Wait, do rubber gloves work underwater?
Sure.
I think so. Yeah. As long as the water doesn't go inside the glove. Yeah. You're fine.
It can't make contact with your skin.
Oh, so you're wearing some long rubber.
You gotta get,
oh,
I think like, you
gotta full
get,
rubber
like,
body suit.
You gotta get the whole like fisherman suit, like from I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Okay,
you look like an Among Us guy.
Last comment comes from Ricardo Gonzalez. Says Nick is looking like a younger Marc Maron. I'll take that. Marc Maron's a very, very good looking guy, folks. And that is it for your post show. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow to round out the week at 10 a.m. for Kind of Funny Games Daily, following a fun-filled stream. I believe we're playing Texas Chainsaw Massacre tomorrow. Ooh. All day long. So make sure you guys stick around for that. Tam, great to see you.
Good to see you, dude.
Blessing, great job as always.
Thank you.
How do we wrap these up? Do we have to shake hands again?
No, we don't shake hands the second time.
Okay, I'm not touching anyone
anymore.
We saved
that for the original.
Everyone stick around. We're coming right back with some Vampire Survivor.